Psalms 119, and I do have a few slides to show you for just the first part of the message. We're back in Psalms, and we're going to pick up today at verse number 57 and go down to verse number 64. Psalms 119, please, in your Bibles, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Today, I want to preach on choosing your portion. Psalms 119, and verse 57. I'll read the first verse, and then would you read with me on the second, and down through, we'll go back and forth. It says in verse 57, "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways, and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes." Our text today is verse 57. It says, "Thou art my portion, O Lord." Father, today, would you please help us? And Lord, would you please help me, Father? And Lord, I believe that your word is sharper and powerful than any two-edged sword. And God, it can, Lord, it can defend. And Lord, it can also, Lord, attack. And God, today I pray that you would use your word to encourage, but also, Father, to just cut away the things that are hindering our life to being more like you. Lord, I pray that there's someone today that's not saved, that today they get born again. Spirit of God, please speak to their hearts and move in their life. Lord, today, help Christians today. I pray, God, encourage us and help us, Father. And Lord, may we repent toward you, Father, and make haste, Lord, to walk in your word. This we pray today in your name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We are at Psalms 119 this morning. And this is the eighth stanza of Psalms 119. And the eighth letter of the Hebrew alphabet is the letter het. And has kind of a guttural sound. And the number eight in the Bible represents, of course, it represents grace and new beginnings. That's what the eight stands for in the Bible. And so we find that God's grace, of course, spared eight souls in the days of Noah, put them on the ark. And of course, after the flood receded, they had, of course, a new beginning after the flood. And so eight is the number of grace and new beginnings. In the ancient Hebrew, the pictograph for the letter het looked like a fence. And I think that the Word of God is a wall or a fence for us as well. You look at verse 57, the Bible says here, it says, verse 57, "Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words." David used the word of God, his word, as a fence. It kept his boundaries within God's word. But also we find that God works also within his word as well. We see that in verse number 58. It says, "Be merciful unto me according to thy word." And so David said, "I want to bind myself to God's word." And God has bound himself to his word as well. And so we find that this pictograph is a great picture of the word of God. But more interesting, and there's a lot of things that this letter, Hebrew letter, represents, but the most interesting I find is that the letter het, it means, the meaning of it is life and light. That's the meaning of it, but it symbolizes new beginnings. And if you look at the letter, the letter is a combination of two letters. It's a combination of the sixth letter, Vav, which that letter is a representation of man. It also then is the left part of that letter is the combination of the seventh letter, Zion, which is the picture of Christ or the crowned one. And if it's joined by a yoke. And so in the classical Hebrew alphabet, you have the Vav that represents man, you have the Zion that represents the crowned man, Jesus Christ, and they're combined with a yoke. And it's a picture now of new beginnings when man combines himself or joins himself with God. Did not Christ say in Matthew 11, "Come unto me, all you heavy laden and that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest"? He said, "Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Christ said in John chapter 15, he says, "I am the vine; ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing." And so, when man chooses God as his portion, and takes on the yoke, if you will, and joins with Christ, the crowned man, there's a new beginning for that man. New beginning, new life, and new light. David makes this choice, verse 57. He says, that thou art my portion. He's saying, listen, he's saying, God, you are my allotment. You are my share. You are my inheritance. It's, my portion is in the Lord. Psalm 16:5 says, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and in my cup thou maintainest my lot." David's saying, listen, my portion is the Lord. Now, this morning, that's a great portion to choose. Let me give you this morning a few thoughts from our text today. Number one is this: the devil offers his own portion. The devil will offer you his own portion. And he wants you to choose to make him your portion. I read in Daniel chapter number 1, where King Nebuchadnezzar, of course, he has Daniel and the three Hebrew children, later which he named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when he took these four men in and made them eunuchs and made them part of his court, he wanted to try to take Israel or God out of them and put Babylon into them. And so he wanted to feed them with the king's portion. He wanted them to eat the king's meat and the king, drink the king's wine. And Daniel said this: "I will not be defiled by the king's portion. Feed me just plain bread and water, and we'll fare better than the king's portion." You see, Nebuchadnezzar wanted to remove all of Israel's culture and traditions and godliness out of these men and instill in them the culture and the lifestyle of the Babylonians. And the devil has his own portion. You know, it may appear to be a small thing. We would think, what's the big deal, Daniel? All you do is get the table and have some meat there and maybe a glass of wine or two. It's no big deal. But it's these small things that the devil comes in and tries to... Listen, Nebuchadnezzar wanted to remove Israel out of these men. And he wanted them to begin to look like the Babylonians and crave the gods of the Babylonians. You know, sometimes in the preaching and sometimes in the living, we think, what's so big about these small little things? And the devil says, these small things I'm going to tempt you with, they're just little portions. And it's no big deal. What the devil wants to do, he wants to take God out of you. He wants you to look like the world and crave the things of the world. He wants to defile you with his portions. And today, if you're not careful, we have become so far removed from godliness. We think it's no big deal how I live my life. It's no big deal how I talk. It's no big deal how I dress. It's no big deal what I drink. It's no big deal where I go. And we become, and the devil, he wants to defile you with his portion and make you look like the world and crave the worldly things. Well, we have Christians today who say, "I love God." Well, where are they this morning? Where are they? And so the devil has his own portion. It's a defiling portion. The devil is trying to remove all resemblance and loyalty to Christ from the believer. The devil is trying to make you like the world and crave the world's portion, but it'll defile you. The devil also has a deceiving portion. Not only did I read about Daniel, but I also read about the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. We have a father with two sons. The younger son said to the father, "Give me the portion of my goods that belongs to me." The portion, well, if it belonged to him, But he took his portion. What did he do with it? He squandered away in righteous living. Because he abused his portion that fell to him, he wound up in the pig pen. He thought he was going to use his portion to experience joy and contentment, but he ended up in the pig pen in misery with the hogs. And the devil wants you to listen. The devil wants you to waste your portion. I said, waste your portion. Said that many of you, you've grown up in a church, you've grown up with godly parents, and they've given you a godly portion, a godly heritage. And if you're not careful, you will squander it away and use it for your own self, and you'll neglect it, and you're going to abuse it, and it's going to end up in the pig pen. The devil wants you to waste your portion. And so the devil, he offers his own counterfeit portion. But I like what David says here, verse 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. Now watch this morning. Look at the text here this morning. Let's look at a few verses here and help today. And by the way, please this morning, Christian today, don't buy the devil's portion. Don't give yourself to the devil's portion. We're living in a society today where we want to make light of everything. It's no big deal, preacher. What's the big deal? You start craving the devil's food and the devil's drink. Pretty soon you look like and act like the devil's people. This idea, you know, I'm not a big fan of profanity. We were out yesterday and these young folks, I mean young, using the F word. That just drives me nuts. I want to get out of my car and punch them in the face. I really do. It just drives me nuts. It's used all the time. When did that become normal? To say, if you can't get a better word than that, you're a moron. It just shows how dumb you are using those words. You know, the profanity is the attempt of a human mind to express itself. But see, we bought into that kind of idea that it's just no big deal. It's just words. Today, my temptation this morning was I wanted to preach about the thing in Texas. And I probably will sooner or later, but there's bigger problems than guns in kids' hands. Yeah, it's a society who's been eating the devil's portions. And we've been defiled by the devil's portions. Instead of asking where do you get the guns and where's his dad at? So we should have asked, where's his mom and dad at? All kinds of questions we could ask about that. But here we find that the devil wants you to eat his portion. And young folks today, I want to encourage you, be careful what you eat. Be careful what you're taking in this life. They're defiling portions. He wants you to waste your portion. It bothers me to see people grow up with, know the truth. They've got the truth. Let me say this to you young folks today. Listen up here, look real good at me, all right? We live in a culture today that wants to blame their sin on everybody else. Well, my parents made mistakes. Yeah, we did. You know, I've been alive now 52 years in September. I've not found yet one perfect parent. Not one. And as great as my wife is, I think she's the best wife and best mom in the world. She's not perfect, let me tell you, by the way. I've not found one perfect parent. It's amazing to me how young folks can grow up in a terrible home and choose to serve God. You got young folks growing up in a godly home saying, well, it's my parents' fault that I'm a heathen. Right. No, let me say something, young folks. You have enough truth in your possession to choose the Lord as your portion. Don't you blame your parents and your grandparents. Don't you blame your dad. Don't you blame your church. Well, somebody in the church did me wrong. I understand that. But you can choose to serve God and choose Him as your portion. Right. So let's get to that point of this message. The Lord offers His portion. This is, first of all, a choice of the heart. This is a choice of the heart. Look what David said in verse 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. David says in his heart, Lord, you are my portion. You are what I need. You have what I want. You are sufficient for me. You see, Psalms 119 is a journey, is a journal of a man that has great consideration and thought, meditation of the Lord, of God's Word, and God's ways. Listen, David gave much thought about this. In fact, look at verse number 1 of Psalms 119. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. Verse number 9, he says, wherewith also a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereunto according to thy word. David gave much thought about life and about his portion. He gave much thought about where he was going to eat, if you will. What was going to satisfy him. And he says in his heart now, Lord, oh Lord, you are my portion. David thought to himself, who is the Lord? Who is God? And what's he like? And what does he want? And who is he? He thought to himself, how important is God's word? And how important are his ways? And then he thought, what am I going to do about it? What am I going to do about who God is? He's the creator. He's the ruler. He's the master. What am I going to do about his word and his ways? What am I going to do about it? And he says, Lord, you are my portion. Psalm 16:25 says, there is a way seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. David said, listen, Lord, I'm in my heart, with my whole heart, I'm going to make you my portion. You see, you must give thought to the same. Don't take this haphazardly. Don't consider the things of God lightly. Don't think about them in your own wisdom, by the way, in your own understanding. You've got to ask God to give you wisdom and give you help. But this must be thought about. Hey, who is God? Who is He? Is He the Creator? Is He God of the heavens and earth? Is He the Savior of the world? Is He the Almighty? Is He holy? Well, if the answer is yes, then He deserves some attention. He deserves some contemplation, some consideration. What will I do with this God? Is His word right? Is it true? What will I do about it? You see, this morning, I think that sometimes we are prone not to think. We are prone to just go through life with our heads in neutral, living by our emotions, our feelings, or whatever feels good, our convenience and our comfort. But one must stop and think about your portion. Your portion. We live in a day where the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And God's ways are too hard. And God's ways are too foolish. And God's word is not relevant to our society. But you must choose. You must choose this morning who or what will be your portion. And don't make this choice carelessly or haphazardly. Choose your portion with eternity in view. When you keep eternity in view, it makes things a little bit different. By the way, you can choose the Lord regardless of your past. You can choose God as your portion regardless of, listen, David was a great man, but he was not perfect. So it makes a difference this morning where you came from or who your parents were, from a broken home, from a alcoholic. What does it make this morning? Your past does not determine God being your portion. You can choose and say in your heart, oh Lord, you are my portion. You are enough. You're what I want. You satisfy me, God, and you're my portion. Don't let your past determine that. Don't let the devil deceive you in that. So you can choose the Lord regardless of your past. You say, Lord, preacher, you don't know what I used to be. Yeah, God does, and He still sent His Son to die for you. God does, and He still says, come and die. Let me feed your soul. The Lord still invites you. He says, come unto me and I'll give you rest. You see, the Lord wants you to choose Him as your portion. So this choice must be a choice of the heart. This choice also must be, watch it now, the choice of the will. Look at verse 59. Look what he says here. I thought on my ways. Well, here's he stopped now. He began to observe himself. You know, we're good at observing others around us. Right? I mean, we can tell you all the things that they do wrong. Right? I mean, we got it all down. If you don't know, look on Facebook. It's right there. get on Instagram and TikTok and all that stuff, that nonsense. Well, you can see, and well, listen, I thought upon my ways, where I was going, what I was doing. He said this, and turn my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. There must be a choice of the will. Charles Spurgeon said this, action without thought is folly. And thought without action is sloth. You must choose. There must be a choice of the will. Choosing the Lord has an impact on your heart and impacts your walk. You see, the way of your heart determines the way of your feet. Right? Daniel said, listen, Lord, I'm choosing you as my portion. With all his heart, he sought after God. He made it was a choice of the heart. He said, no, it impacts my will. You must listen this morning. What do you want? Do you want to serve God? That's your choice. You must choose today. I want God to be my portion. Then choose Him. I want God to bless me. Then choose Him. You make the choice today. You must choose. You must choose Him. Did not the Bible say in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Hey, that's the heart of man. That's the heart saying, I choose the Lord as my portion. I want no other. I want the Lord as my portion. But then he says, and turn and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. You see, the choice of the heart must impact the choice of the will. It's not enough to say, in my heart I choose the Lord. No, with your will choose the Lord. Choose Him to be your portion. Let your heart direct your feet in God's ways. The way of the heart determines the way of the feet. David said in his psalm this morning, I'm looking at my life. I'm looking at what I do. And my ways and God's ways are not equal. I'm not living like I ought to live. So I'm going to turn my feet to not to how I feel. I'm going to turn my feet on thy testimonies, O Lord. I'm going to put my feet in your word and walk in your word. Christian, today I want to encourage you today. Hey, thank God he invites us all to come. He's saying, listen, come and dine. I'm your portion. I'm what you need. Hey, come to me and I'll give you rest. Choose me, he says, choose me. It must begin in the heart of man. But then let your feet, let your life reflect that you have chosen God. Look like Him. Act like Him. Walk with Him. Be different in your life. Choose Him. Let your feet walk in His Word. A man named Thomas Brook wrote this, and I wanted to read it. It's a little bit lengthy quote, but I want to read it to you. He begins by saying, Luther counsels every Christian to answer all temptations with a short saying, but I am a Christian. And I would counsel every Christian to answer all temptations with this short saying, the Lord is my portion. Oh Christian, when Satan or the world shall tempt you with honors, answer, the Lord is my portion. When they shall tempt thee with riches, answer, the Lord is my portion. When they shall tempt thee with preferments, answer, the Lord is my portion. And when they shall tempt thee with favors of great ones, answer, the Lord is my portion. And yea, and when this persecuting world shall threaten thee with the loss of thy estate, answer, the Lord is my portion. When they shall threaten thee with the loss of liberty, answer, the Lord is my portion. When they shall threaten thee with the loss of friends, answer, the Lord is my portion. When they shall threaten thee with the loss of life, answer, the Lord is my portion. Oh, sirs, if Satan should come to you with an apple, as once he did Eve, tell him, the Lord is your portion. Or with a grape, as he once did with Noah, tell him that the Lord is your portion. Or with a change of raiment, as once he did with Gehazi, tell him, the Lord is your portion. Or with a wedge of gold, as he once did Achan, tell him the Lord is your portion. Or with a bag of silver, as he once did with Judas, tell him the Lord is your portion. That's the answer this morning, Christian. That's the answer to our problems, our burdens, our temptations, our struggles when we're faced with those things. The Lord is my portion. He's all I need. He's sufficient for me. He feeds me. He leads me beside still waters, and I shall not want. And He's my portion. He's my portion. This portion involves immediate. By the way, this portion involves real repentance. Real repentance. See, he turned his feet toward the Lord. Today we have a lot of fake repentance in our churches. People feel bad, but they don't turn from their wicked ways. Their life's not changed. The words they use don't change. How they treat each other don't change. Marriage is still broken. Kids are still rebellious. Hey, it's morning, Christian. There must be repentance. There also must be an immediate response. Look what he says in verse number 60. I made haste and delayed not. There's got to be an immediate response. The devil don't mind you serving God. Just do it tomorrow. Right? The devil don't mind you coming to an altar and pray and saying, Lord, I'm going to commit some things to you. I'm going to choose you. He don't mind you doing that. Just do it tomorrow. Say later on. And by the way, if you're waiting for things to get perfect to serve God, you ain't never going to serve God. Man, if you're waiting for the prime time, the convenient time to serve God, there's never going to be a prime time or convenient time to serve God. Preacher, when my family is better, I'll get involved in church. It's never going to get better. Preacher, when I get more financial secure, then I'll do, you know, I've been wanting to be financially secure for years. But look at me, I'm 100 pounds heavier than when I first got married. I've been eating something, by the way. I went down to Sugar's Soul Food Cafe, whatever that thing is called. And she's got some good food down there, by the way. And she brought it to us, some cheesecake. And she was Kim Sandler. She started talking to us there Tuesday night. And she said, she goes, how do you like the food? And I said, it's not like Mama's. She goes, what? I said, Mama was a terrible cook. So this was fantastic. I said, this is fantastic. This is wonderful. So I'm going to put my office down here in this restaurant. Yeah. And I'm not sure why I told you that story. I go in someplace. That's the problem. You get a little older. You forget why you tell a story. You say things you shouldn't say. The Lord wants to give you His portion. And by the way, it's good. It's good. It's enough. It satisfies. And the devil's whole idea is, don't get too excited. Don't do it today. Just wait. Just wait. Yeah, the Word of God's right. In fact, the preacher's hitting on all eight today, and he's right. But just kind of, you know, do it tomorrow. You got time. You got next week to do it. Sure. Folks, I'm telling you something. The prime time's right now. Right. Today's the day of salvation. Amen. Today, listen. Today, if you've not been saved, today is the day to get saved. Yeah. And today, if you're fighting the Lord and you're backslidden in your heart, today's the day to get right. I mean, not just some polywater cracker prayer. Not just coming to an altar and just shedding a few little crocodile tears and saying, oh, woe is me. No, real change, real repentance. Today's the day. But make haste to do it. Sir, is it your family worth making haste to serve God? Yes. Ma'am, isn't the Lord worthy of your service? Sir, don't we need today in this day and age, the culture that we live in, some Christians that will stand for God and say, the Lord is my portion, I shall not want! He's my shepherd, He's my portion. I'm going to serve Him. The world today, the world demands that we make haste to serve Him. We wait too long. We wait too long. We say, tomorrow when I've got more money, tomorrow when my family's better, tomorrow when the church is on better, tomorrow. And then one day we look back and say, I wish I would have. The life is full of regrets. All of a sudden now we get older We can't give God the prime of our life any longer. We're wore out, we're burdened, we're scarred up, we're beat up. Now our very best is not what it could be. Make haste today to serve God. Make haste. But this choice, choosing the Lord as your portion, it involves repentance, it involves response, but it also involves absolute resolve. Look at verse number 61. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. Give us today some more Daniels. Give us today some more folks that will say, I'll be a Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Give us today some young men that will say, I'll be a David. Give us today some Esthers that will say, if I perish, I perish. But absolute resolve that the Lord is my portion. Too many folks today, and we live in a day and age of snowflakes. Just wimpy Christianity. And we want God to lay it all out for us conveniently. No hard ways, no obstacles, no burdens, no inconveniences. God, make my life a bed of roses, Lord. Give me a hammock to sleep on. God, make it easy for me. Or God, I won't serve you. And every obstacle comes along, we're done. We're done. Hiccup at the church. Somebody sits in your pew. Somebody doesn't speak to you. All of a sudden, you're tucking tail and running somewhere else. All of a sudden, you didn't get a prayer answer. God says no to your prayer. Now you're mad at God. Upset, angry, because God won't feed your wallet. God won't feed your lust. God won't make you comfortable. And David said here, though I've been robbed by a band of robbers, and though it's not easy, God, I am going to resolve to serve you, come hell or high water. God, you're my portion. We need some old saints like that again today. Just make that absolute resolve that I'm going to serve God regardless of the consequence. I'm serving. He's my portion. I'm not changing tables. Hey, young folks, today resolve. Have resolve today in your heart. I belong to God. He belongs to me. He's my portion. I don't want what the world has to offer. I'm not chasing the world's dreams, the world's temptations. The Lord is my portion. But it must be absolute resolve. You must choose today. Far too many Christians sit in the pew and say, I want to. I'm thinking about it. I'm going to. No, you today have a choice to make. Do you want to have a good marriage? Do you want to have a good Christian home? Do you want to be a good Christian? Then choose to be. Choose to be. It's a choice. We can give all kinds of excuses today. Blame everybody else. My wife, my husband, my kids, my church, my preacher. I've been blamed for a lot of things. I've been blamed for people getting divorced and all kinds of crazy stuff. And I guess I can take it. You know, that's fine. It makes it easier for you. But it's your choice this morning. Preacher, you don't understand. I've been robbed. Yeah. But you can choose to serve God. He can still be your portion. Listen, the robbers can't take that away. The devil can't take that away. But you understand, I got a broken home. Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. I'm not going to lie to that. Those are hard things to deal with. But do you think changing tables is going to make it easier? Do you think making the devil your portion is going to make your life easier? He says something, sir and ma'am, don't add misery to your misery. Choose with absolute resolve. Lord, though I've been robbed by the wicked, I have not forgotten thy law. We need some old timers. Some say, you know what, I've come this far, I'm staying in it. Yes, Lord. Some of you gray hairs today, you need to stay in it. Quit being so easy. Listen, you're the generation that's supposed to be tough. I'm not meaning to be disrespectful, but you're supposed to be the tough ones. Supposed to be the one that says, listen, I'm settled, I'm resolved, I'm not moving, I've come this far with God, I'm going all the way with Him. He's my portion. Hey, quit flip-flopping around. Quit letting the world discourage you and the devil depress you. Oh, so you know, is it worth it? Yeah, it's worth it. You know it's worth it. Yes, it is. Look somewhere else. Do you think the old man today living in a nursing home that's given his life to the drugs or the alcohol, do you think they're happy? Come on. Think the broken old man on the street corner begging for a dime and a few bucks because he's chosen the wrong thing in his life? Right. Do you think he's happy? You think the man that's been divorced several times and now sits alone, you think he's happy? The woman that's given her life to be a hellion, to run around chasing frivolous things, now her kids despise her, her husband's gone, do you think she's happy? These are real life things, folks. This is real life. And I want in my heart to say, Lord, regardless of what happens, Lord, you're my portion. You're sufficient for me. You're all that I need. And though I face obstacles and difficulties and hard times, I'm not changing tables. This must be absolute resolve. Now, it's 12 o'clock, and I got to close with 17 more points. I want to leave you today that this choice of serving God, making Him your portion, this is a choice of blessings. Show me, let me show you a verse here. Let's turn over to your right, just for a few moments, to Psalms 142. You see, this choice, making God your portion, this choice comes with blessings. We oftentimes forget about or we place very little value on. Look with me at Psalms 142 for a moment. Here's another Psalm of David, and he says this in verse number 1, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knowest my path. In the way wherein I have walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand, and behold, there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. That is one of the saddest verses that I find in the Bible. I read that, my heart breaks. To realize that there are times in our life when we are in the midst of trouble, and we are overwhelmed. Life can overwhelm you. It can drive you almost crazy. What people do, what you have to face, burdens, how sometimes the kids can turn against you, friends can not be there, our government is crazy. I mean, crazy. The crazies are running the country today. The heart breaks to hear about the murder and the abuse and the slavery of young people, all kinds of sins and perversion. By the way, they'll answer for that one day. But he says, I don't have a refuge. No one cared for me. It's pretty tough to feel that way. But he said this in verse number 5. I cried unto the Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. See, here's a blessing, Christian. God's not our portion when we die. Right? Now he is. Boy, when he comes again for me, or I lay this old flesh body down, and I wake up in heaven, I'm going to see Christ face to face. He has a place prepared for me. I'm going to walk the streets to go with him, and heaven's going to be, it's going to be grander in heaven. Be with him once and for all to see him face to face, the one who loved me and died for me. But today, in the land of the living, he's my refuge today. You see, when the Lord's your portion, he's your refuge. Now listen, if you've not chosen the Lord, that means nothing to you. Right. If you've not chosen Him with your heart and your will, this verse like, yeah. But when you know Him, all of a sudden the life has gotten into a valley and the storm clouds have rolled over and there's thunder and lightning and you have no idea where to go and you look around you and there's no man that can say, hey, that's my friend. You can say, but he's my refuge. Yeah, yeah. I hide myself in the cleft of the rock and he's my refuge. And boy, in that cleft of the rock, in that refuge, the devil can't get you. I mean, you're safe and secure. I mean, again, there's life, but know that the Lord is my refuge. I'm safe in Him. You know, I wish I could be this 6-foot guy, 280 pounds, that just was, you know, always on top of it and always just, you know, strong and, you know, like, I'm not afraid of anything. But boy, sometimes things just happen. You get a little bit nervous. You get intimidated. There's fears there. And here's what I've been doing the last several months when I get a little bit concerned or worried. Lord, my life and my times are in your hands. And Lord, what it is, it's in your hands. And God, if I have to, Lord, if you take me home, it's your timing. And Lord, if things don't work out the way I want to, it's your timing. My life and my times are in your hands. Lord, you're my refuge. Now that may sound contrite, but I'm telling you, for me, in my heart, I get a peaceful feeling. That if my God can't keep me, and he ain't worth much worth saving, worth serving. But he's bigger than me. He's bigger than the world's problems. He's bigger than the devil, and he's my refuge. But it has to be your portion. Look at the next one. When the Lord is your portion, you have hope. Jeremiah said in Lamentations 3:24-26, he said, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. See, when the Lord is your portion, not only is he your refuge, but then you have also hope. You have hope. I would tell you something. When he's your portion, and you face the difficult times, and you face the hard decisions, and you face this life square in the face, listen, I have hope at the end of the day because the Lord is my portion. I'm going home to him.
I
like going home at night. I went to D.C. and I was there for 3 days. Well, actually 2.5 days. I told my wife, I said, I'm ready to come home. She goes, I figured you would be. You know, I like to travel, but I want to be back in 3 days wherever I go. You know, I want to see the world. I want to see the states. I mean, I want to be back in 3 days. Okay. You know, I come to church and work throughout the afternoon. And I like going home because I know I get home. This is a master get to be there. She says, there's a meal prepared for me. No matter how bad the day is, my portion, I'm looking forward to that. Christian, today when you choose to serve God and choose to make him your portion, today I don't know what your portion is. I know what your portion is. How could you today choose that the Lord is your portion? When he is your portion, you have a refuge, but you also have hope. Hope. Christian, I want my kids to be saved. With God, there's hope. Preacher, I want my life to be a little different. With the Lord as your portion, there's hope. Preacher, I want my spouse to be saved, to be right with God. With the Lord, there's hope. There's hope. Preacher, I want to be used of God. I want God to do something with my life. I want to have purpose and meaning with my life. With the Lord, there's hope. Go back to our text for a second. Let me just read you a couple of verses and I'll be done. I want you to see this. There's blessings when the Lord is your portion. This choice is a choice of the will, a choice of the heart, a choice of the will. It's also a choice of blessings. When you choose the Lord, you have refuge. When the Lord is your portion, you have hope. When the Lord is your portion, you have reason to praise. Look at verse 62 of our text. At midnight, I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. At midnight. I don't know about you, but usually at midnight, I want to be in the bed. I'm changing over the years. I've been for a long time a night owl. And I could be up, you know, 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, and then get up at, you know, 5 or 6 and hit the road running. And now 8:30 comes along. I'm like, okay, where's the bed? I lay down, I'm sleeping like that. Then the next minute I hear the alarm clock going, I'm like, oh, the alarm already. What in the world is happening? Yesterday I didn't set my alarm. We had people at our house till late Friday night. I'm not sure why, but they were there late. And they're young, but I'm old. And they just wouldn't go home. So I love them, but they were there late. And so I went to bed. I didn't set my alarm clock. I'm like, I'm just going to sleep for a little while. And I woke up, and usually I wake up, and it's like, is this kind of dawn out? It's kind of just turning day. It was broad daylight. I'm thinking, I am late for something. Thank the Lord, it's only 7:45, but I thought I'm late for something. It is too light out for that. This psalmist, he said this at midnight. God's been so good to me at midnight. I'm going to rise up and give Him praise.
Yes, Lord.
Let me ask you a question this morning. You have anything to praise God about?
Yeah.
That so overwhelms you that you can't sleep? How many times have we laid in bed and tossed and turned about that burden that we have? When we can't sleep, we toss and turn, fluff our pillow up and straighten the blankets, get up and, you know, do all kinds of stuff and, you know, go to the refrigerator and have some comfort food, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning, some pizza or ice cream or, you know, in our house, we don't have, our house is too healthy. I go, okay, I get either cashews or celery. I go back to bed and worry about my health. Boy, I've laid in bed at night thinking about my son. Waiting for that phone call. I worry about the nighttime some of my church family. Think about this chapel ministry and how big it's going to be. But I'm not always good at getting up at midnight and saying, God, I just want to come in your presence and thank you for being so good to me. But boy, when He's your portion, you're at His table. There are sometimes you guys say, I just can't keep it in. And all of a sudden, Mama wakes up and like, what are you doing? You know, I woke my wife up before in the middle of the night, worried. I need to be a better Christian. I need to wake her up sometime, jumping on the bed. They start jumping. What are you doing? I'm praising the Lord, Mama. Hey, get up with me. We'll, at midnight, we'll jump on the bed. Two big guys on the bed. We'd probably break the bed. But when the Lord's your refuge, when He's your portion, He'll give you a reason to praise. Look at the next verse. Look at verse number 63. I am a companion of all them that fear Thee. When the Lord is your portion, ye have a Christian family. Say that again. When the Lord's your portion, you have a Christian family.
Amen.
This place is not just a place to come and sit on Sunday morning. This is a family.
Right.
God's family.
Yes.
And when you make the Lord your portion, and this is to tell you something, I love my family, but we're not all real close. I've got two sisters and three brothers. I talk to them so little. I'm one of those competitive kind of guys where I want to be the favorite uncle of everybody. But I've not seen my nieces and nephews hardly ever in their life. I go sometimes to reunions and my younger brother Adam, he was a baby when I, you know, my youngest brother and we got real close growing up and just really loved him, and he's a favorite uncle. They call him uncle. They just call me Ed. They call him uncle. I'm like, I want to be uncle. You know, I want to be uncle. Not him. He's redheaded, stupid kid. I want to be uncle. You know what God has done, though? He's given me a church family. Don't take that for granted, folks. Don't take that for granted. A church family. David said, well, because I had chosen you, Lord, to be my portion, all my companions are going to be godly people. Last thing, watch this. Look at verse number 64. The earth, O Lord, is full of Thy mercy. Teach me Thy statutes. When the Lord is your portion, you'll discover God's mercies. Do you ever wake up grumpy? Sometimes I wake her up and... You ever wake up and just everything just looks terrible? Right? You know, I heard a joke, I probably won't tell it right, but I heard a joke where a guy, you know, he's smelling something and he's like, this house stinks. He opens the refrigerator, he said, something in the refrigerator stinks. He walks outside, he's like, it stinks out here too, and my car stinks, the whole world stinks. And what was stinking was his upper lip was stinking. And sometimes we just get so sideways. Everything around us seems terrible. But God says, see, that when you choose me as your portion, You're going to discover new mercies all around you.
Amen.
Right? Man, there are sources that God has blessed us with that we don't even all the time even see. So, preacher, you know what? There's some things I don't have. But there are some things that you could have had if God had not stopped it.
Right?
We always think about things that we don't have. But what could have been without the Lord in your life? Have you seen my driving? I'm still alive. You see what I ride in? A Prius. Yeah, God still, I probably wore out some angels along the way. I'm just saying, listen, this morning, when we make God our portion, we discover all around us, the earth is full of His mercies. Things I have, I don't deserve! Because the Lord is my portion. Today, if you want to have a new beginning in your life, let grace yoke you with the crowned man. Let grace yoke you with the crowned man. Determine today in your life, the Lord is my portion. O Lord, thou art my portion. Well, today we come to you in closing. Thank you, dear God, for our time together around your word. And Father, today, help us to love you more. Help us, dear God, today to say to you from our hearts, Lord, you're my portion. I don't want to eat anywhere else. I don't want to dine at any other table. I don't want any other inheritance. Lord, you're my portion. God, I pray that you make that impression upon our hearts. Let's all today to stand together. The piano begins to play the invitation song this morning. Perhaps today the Spirit of God today has pricked your heart and revealed to you that the Lord, He's not your portion. Oh, yeah, you believe Him and you name His name, but He's not been your portion. You've been eating other places. You've been looking for other portions in your life and you've chased some things. Today, would you make it a point today in your heart and your life to say, oh Lord, Thou art my portion. Not in eternity, but in the land of the living. Today you're my portion. Today would you repent and turn toward Him. Today would you make haste and run to Him. And today would you make absolute resolve. Lord, I'm going to serve you. You're my portion. There's blessings there. There's peace there. He's sufficient. He's enough. He cares and He loves you this morning. Perhaps you say, preacher, I'm not saved. And if I die today, I'm not sure that heaven's my home. I don't have everlasting life. Today, would you come and receive Christ your Savior? The altar is open this morning. You come, would you come? Thou art my portion. Father, today we come to you, Father, in closing. We thank you, Lord, today for your heavenly word, Father, for the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, I'm glad today that we can, as people, have the ability to say, Thou art our portion. And Lord, that is a great grace, Lord, that you offer yourself to be our portion. May today we, as your people, choose, make that choice in our heart and our will that God, the Lord, you, no matter what, you're my portion, and I'm going to feast at your table. Lord, bless our church family, and Lord, I know that we all need you. There are folks today in this room that are going through struggles and some real heartaches. Lord, may they find that portion, may they find you to be sufficient, Lord, and enough. This we pray today in your name and ask. Amen.